So today's message is really a good follow-up from last week's message. You know, when you talk about God's holiness, the fact that he is completely other in terms of just being unique and special and different from who we are, when we think about the gap that exists between us and God, just even in the nature of our being, forget about our sinfulness, just the nature of our being, there's this great gap between us. Then add on to that the fact that we're disobedient, the fact that we're sinful, that gap only increases. So but for that God then being forgiving in nature, we would be lost. We would be hopeless in terms of how could we ever be connected to a God who is so holy? It's only because of his initiative to forgive us in our lives. So this is a topic that was suggested, and so I fit it in this place because it's so fitting, both in the context of doing communion today, but in reference to God's holiness. So what it is, where it comes from, where it doesn't, and then past and present in terms of just what power the cross has to even be an influence in how God has engaged with sin throughout human history is something that we will engage with in our study. Probably will be both this week and next week in terms of just the time frame it will take. But again, I think this is also something that will affirm things for people that you already know, encourage you in those things, and even for those of you who struggle with the idea of forgiveness, particularly maybe even forgiving yourself. I'm hoping that this is helpful for you. So forgiveness, in kind of a Webster kind of dictionary way, says can be defined as the process of concluding resentment, indignation, or anger as a result of an actual or perceived offense, difference or mistake, and or ceasing to demand punishment or restitution. I think we all know that when someone hurts us, when someone does us wrong, when we're offended by something, what is our natural reaction? Our natural reaction is get back. Give you back what you gave me. Again, if you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. If you, you know, swear at me, I'm going to swear at you. And maybe I'm going to ramp it up a little bit and give you something worse than you gave me. Again, that's the natural course of thing. Well, the whole beautiful idea of forgiveness that defines God's being in nature and the work that he has accomplished is introducing the idea that we lay that down. That again, by laying it down, by not following through on that revenge that we would otherwise want to bring, we're actually freeing ourselves. We're actually better off because of the fact that we're forgiving. So as one author writes, forgiveness is surrendering my right to hurt you for hurting me. Now, when you think about forgiveness, forgiveness can be discussed in reference to God forgiving us, us forgiving ourselves, and us forgiving others. And so ultimately, we will focus more attention in our study of this on God forgiving us and us forgiving ourselves in terms of just understanding and embracing the forgiveness that God gives. Whether we get to forgiving each other's, forgiving others, rather, we'll see as we unfold the topic in this week and next. So when we think about what the Bible says about forgiveness in terms of our next slide, it says, you know, when you talk about the biblical words that God uses in terms of forgiveness, it's very consistent with the kind of this understanding that we have about us freeing ourselves from that revenge or again hurting someone else. And so the next slide says, is it not coming up? Oh, like it just looked, whew, it just looks so much like the last one, but it has different words. You see that, like, Pastor, what are you talking about? Isn't it? It is the next slide. So anyways, when talking about God's forgiveness of us, the words translated forgiveness in the Bible often mean to wipe out, blot out, do away with, or pardon. Again, if you think about a register, if you think about a ledger in terms of, again, you know, is there a debt to your account or is there a balance, a positive balance to your account? And so if you see sin being the idea that we have a negative balance in our account, the whole idea of forgiveness in terms of God coming to us is he wipes that balance clean. He takes it off. It's no longer substantive in terms of our relationship. So again, the whole idea of wiping it out, blotting it out, doing away with it, that's the nature of God's forgiveness towards us. Again, that's the words, that's the meaning of the words that are used in Scripture when we see the word forgiveness in the text. Now, it is important to recognize that what is being wiped out or done away with is not the event or the behavior, but the guilt or punishment we think we deserve for the behavior. See, and I think this is something that confuses us in some ways. I think it's certainly a place where Satan certainly engages a lot with us in trying to make us feel guilty when God would ultimately want to free us from that guilt and help us to embrace his forgiveness. See, when we think about the whole idea of God wiping it out, it's not God wiping out our memory. Again, I say God has given you a memory to remember. And so therefore, when we talk about forgiveness, he's not wiping out the events. Like, yes, you still did the thing. You still said the thing. Well, whatever it is that you would otherwise be guilty about, you've done the wrong thing. So God is not wiping out the event, he's not wiping out the behavior, but he is wiping out the guilt that we would have. See, maybe as much as we would say that when someone offends us, again, we recognize the punishment that we want to bring on them, so that when we offend God, when we break his law, we understand that, well, maybe God thinks the same way, that I've offended him, so, well, what punishment does he have for me? And again, the whole idea of forgiveness is he wipes that out. It's blotted out. You know, there's our aspects of Scripture in terms of what we will turn to, in terms of how God thinks about that and how completely he disengages with the guilt or the punishment he would give to us, that you know, it's just complete and it's total. It's unconditional in nature. Again, when we come to God and we receive from him the compensation for the sin that we've committed, again, his response is to forgive us. You know, when you have that principle to forgive and forget, you know, to just understand those are not equal. Like for you to say, in order for me to forgive someone, I have to forget what they've done. Or in order for God to forgive me, I have to forget what I have done. They are not equal. But what forgiveness means is as you take that event and you take that behavior and now you want to think about punishment coming to you, when you think about that being on the negative ledger between you and God, that's what's wiped away. So I think it's very easy for us to confuse that and say, well, but wait, I still remember doing it. I still remember that it happened. I still feel bad about the fact that it happened. That doesn't matter. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is recognizing that God says that whatever you would be accountable for, whatever punishment you feel like you deserve, it's not there. God is not going to bring it to you. Again, that is the nature of the whole concept of forgiveness. And literally, when we think about what the Scripture communicates in terms of God's forgiveness, there are dozens and dozens and really hundreds of verses that point to God's forgiveness either directly or indirectly. And that's what the next slide says. Again, that directly or indirectly, God talks about forgiveness. Again, when you think about one of the primary things that God would seek to communicate to us. See, God understands who he is. God understands who we are. He understands the fact that we are dust. He understands that we are fallen. He understands that we're sinful. So he knows that he has to do something to deal with that. But to see how God completely communicates, if you think about the primary things God communicates to humankind throughout Scripture, one is, I love you. One, you're special to me. You are divine creation, and I'm connected to you, and I want you to be connected to me. But then one of the other primary things that God communicates is, you are forgiven. That all the brokenness, all the disobedience, all the sin, all the things you've done wrong, I don't hold it against you. Again, as long as you come to me in the provision, in the context of what I provide for that, just understand, I offer you forgiveness. And that forgiveness is complete, total, and unconditional. That it's not dependent on what you do. That there's only one thing that can accomplish that forgiveness that we're going to look at. But ultimately, to know that the God of the heavens, the holy God that is completely other, He understands that what one thing he wants to project to us as human beings, the fact that he is forgiving towards the things that we do. And so that's a primary thing that he communicates. Again, there are dozens and dozens of verses that affirm God's forgiveness of us in direct or indirect ways. And what I mean by that is sometimes God will describe something he does that indicates that he's forgiving us. There's one point in time in the book of Isaiah where Hezekiah is actually writing, and it's after Hezekiah prays to God to be healed, that he can stick around for longer and rule, and it was a bad thing if you know the story. But anyways, he's writing in the book of Isaiah chapter 38, and he says, God, you've taken my sins and thrown them behind your back. And so again, he's not specifically saying, God, you forgave me, but that's a picture of what forgiveness is. So that's what I mean by direct or indirect ways. There are certain things the Bible expresses and what God does or what God thinks about our sins that maybe forgiveness is not said directly, but it's indicating the fact that God is forgiving. I think every time the Bible talks about God's mercy, mercy is the companion of forgiveness. That if mercy is God not giving us the punishment that we deserve, that's what mercy is, that by definition, if God is merciful, it's because he's being forgiving to those things that we have done wrong. So again, dozens upon dozens, we could take the next two messages and just look at verses that affirm God's forgiveness of us. But let's just have Kelly bring up these couple of verses here in terms of Psalm 31, 1 and 2. It says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against him and whose spirit is no deceit. And so again, when it says, it would like just remember, when it says your sin is covered, yes, in terms of God's thoughts, again, God can forget sin, but really when it says sin is covered, it's really the guilt that is covered. Again, it's a responsibility it would feel. Again, it's not taking away the reality that it happened. Again, don't get caught up on that in terms of I still remember this. No, it's the guilt that you feel about it that forgiveness is addressing. And then Ephesians 1:7 says this, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Again, just verses that affirm the idea that God is a forgiving God. That when we understand, again, who he is and how do we as fallen and sinful people engage with him, it's because of the fact that he is forgiving. And so then Acts 13:38, therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Again, so you're kind of getting part of the message right here at the beginning because you can't engage with forgiveness in the New Testament without it talking about Jesus. So Jesus is the means of that forgiveness. God, through Jesus, has accomplished forgiveness of sin for all people and all time, I believe. In terms of just how significant that death was, how significant the sacrifice that Jesus made and all the work that God accomplished through him, that he is the source of that forgiveness, that the way we connect to the forgiveness that God offers us is through Jesus Christ. Now, we'll see there's other dynamics throughout history, again, particularly as the person who asked the question kind of said, well, how does that apply in the time of the law? How does that apply in the time before the law? So we'll get there, but we have to kind of establish the groundwork in terms of the nature of God's forgiveness. Now, I want to turn to Psalm 103, verse 12, so you kind of see this verse as you read it in your own scriptures. But Psalm 103:12 is a really neat one in terms of just describing the extent of God's forgiveness. And so basically, I'll read from 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far is removed our transgressions from us. Now, something I always think about when I read the Bible, okay, the Bible is clearly saying this. What else could it have said that would have communicated maybe a different message? But God chose not to express it that way. Like, in other words, just imagine that the psalmist said that God separates your sin as far as Jerusalem is to Capernaum. I mean, people who walked, maybe rode in a donkey to get from Jerusalem to Capernaum, they would see, wow, that's significant. I mean, he could say, I separate your sin as far as you, like 10 feet or three stadia or however they'd communicate distance at that time. Like, there's a lot of things God could have said to communicate. How extensive my forgiveness? Like, when I think about wiping it out and blotting it out, how far away does that go? Again, he could say, boy, he says from the east is from the west. Do you know that that's an infinite line? I mean, do you realize that even if he said as far as the north is from the south, that would still be able to be defined? Because if you start walking on the globe, you know, this would be a walk for you, huh? If you start walking north, there's some point in time that you're going to come to the North Pole, and then you have to walk south. And so therefore, that is limited in terms of perspective. But even if God said, I separate your sins from you as far as the north is from the south, that would still be extended. We say, wow, great God, how big is your forgiveness? How complete and how total is your forgiveness? North or south, awesome. If you start walking west, you will always be walking west. There's no point in time that you will stop walking west if you keep walking in the same direction. If you stop walking east, you will continue to start walking east. But, you know, again, you won't have to walk the other way. And so for God to say, I've removed, as far as, where was the verse? As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So again, that's how God defines his forgiveness. Again, that's how extensive it is. That's how big it is. That's how comprehensive it is. Now, at no point does God offer forgiveness so that we sin more. I mean, that is something that we do have to understand. Like, again, the Bible oftentimes will communicate forgiveness in unqualified ways. You're forgiven. Jesus has died. It's through his blood. Redemption is offered. Forgiveness is offered. It's yours. And oftentimes it will do that kind of unadulterated, not mixed with anything else. And yet oftentimes God will say, I forgive you, but so that you don't sin. Like, it's kind of Jesus going to the adulteress and saying, go and sin no more. Like neither do I accuse you. Again, I'm going to forgive you in terms of whatever you're being accused of, but now go sin no more. Like, so God is not forgiving us to somehow justify or rationalize our sin, but ultimately to free us from the implications of sin so that we don't sin more. See, forgiveness actually a dynamic of the way things work in terms of even you understand what Romans 7 says. Forgiveness is actually supposed to foster more obedience. Like, if you want to corrupt that, you want to take your sinful mind, you want to take the deception that Satan will offer you, and then somehow sin, forgiveness justifies your sin and frees you to sin more, that's not what God encourages. And yet, if you continue to do that and you are in Christ, you are continually forgiven. That's the amazing thing about the nature of this forgiveness. If you continue to sin, God will continue to forgive you. You know, as Romans 5 is working into Romans 6, or is it, I think it's 5 into 6, where it says, where sin abounds, grace does that much more abound. Where sin increases, it actually, what it says in the Greek words there, when sin increases and it gets bigger, it uses kind of like an exponential word, like sin increases, it gets bigger and bigger, the way that grace is expressed, it's exponentially more. Like when sin increases, grace increases all the more. But then chapter 6 starts off and says, do you think I do that so you continue to sin? Be it fair, of course not. Of course, that's not the conclusion, but what we have to understand in the heart of God, sin is destructive. Sin causes death. Sin makes you a worse person, not a better person. Sin may give you pleasure in a moment, but it doesn't encourage life-giving and joy-giving and peace-giving dynamics in your heart. It reinforces selfishness and pride in you. And so therefore, when God says, you're forgiven, so don't sin, it's not like he's saying, because I don't want you to have fun, but it's in the realm of you understanding forgiveness for sin that you then don't sin, like you learn not to sin in terms of just the dynamics, that now we find the true freedom of Christ. See, freedom in Christ is defined in two ways. One is freedom from guilt. I mean, just think again, if we didn't have this picture of forgiveness in the Bible. If the God of the heavens, if the Holy One did not come to us and say, you're forgiven, again, we're hopeless. We have no standing. We have no right. We couldn't come to God and say, you know some God, I've got this stuff and I can do this thing and I can be righteous over here and I can be good. I can walk old ladies across the street. And you would never accomplish enough to be made right with God. It is only by virtue of God coming to you and saying, I forgive you. See, that has to come from him. That doesn't come from us saying, God, you better forgive me. It's just it's God offering it. Now, do you believe? Will you accept it? Will you have the understanding in your heart in terms of the things you've done that, yes, I feel forgiven. I accept that forgiveness. I ward off condemnation. I battle against guilt. You know, and you take that in a heart that's pure. You take that, when that slide that we brought up, where again, fill me with your glory, fill me with your grace, I can't get enough. Like when you think about how forgiveness works in a person that is desiring obedience, desiring to walk with God, you're following him, you're maturing him, you're in the word, you're in worship, you're doing the... For God to say, now you sin, for God to come along, you're forgiven. Like, don't let that trip you up. Just understand, I take that sin and separate it from the east and the west. So how that's intended to be in the context of that life, in the purity of my desire, I want to follow Jesus, but I fall, and I'm disobedient, and I'm sin. I say, and then God says, you're forgiven. You're clean. It's wiped out. Like, I think there are some things that we talk to God about that he says, what? I don't even know what you're talking about. See, he can forget. He can choose to forget. And we're going to get to the point. Well, it's the next verse. But in terms of how God communicates the expansiveness, the completeness, the overarching nature of that forgiveness, we come to God and say, but what about this? I have separated that as far as the east is from the west. There's no part of me that even remembers that. There's no part of me that would want to or feel it necessary to punish you. So why are we punishing ourselves? Why are we taking this guilt? You know, you past Catholics are really good at that. Like you have to understand that guilt is the bread and butter of a lot of cultures. Like you feel guilty about not doing this and not doing, but then you go to the church and God is making you guilty, and you got to do the thing and say the prayers and the Hail Marys, blah blah blah. Like it's so much about you and you and you. What are you doing? How are you making yourself right? Boy, for you to come to God and say, no, God, you're just forgiving because that's who you are. You're just forgiving because that's what you've provided through Christ. And that's what it's about. It's not about anything. You can't add anything to that. Like you never do anything to complete that forgiveness. Prayer does not complete that. Communion doesn't complete that. Obedience doesn't complete that. Nothing completes the fact that you are forgiven, and that's the status of your sin before God. Now, what you do with that is your choice. Oh, well, that's going to justify. No, don't go. But let's at least get through this slide before. We, I am wondering, Spencer, if, I hope I haven't taken, part of your fire for the mess. But whatever. So just bring up Jeremiah 30. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declare, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. See, again, don't, if forgiveness in you, you know, forgiveness towards another person, forgiveness for yourself, if that leads you to forget, awesome. But again, just don't make that the standard. Don't think, I've only forgiven until I forget. No, forgiveness will lead to the forgetting because you're releasing the power. See, when you forgive someone else, when you receive forgiveness from God, you're releasing the power that that sin has over your life. Again, you don't release the memory, you release the power of it and how it can influence you in your relationship with God or your relationship with other people. Like, really, the way the, you know, it's hard not to get to forgiveness of others. Like, when you don't forgive other people, you become a slave. Just understand, when God comes to you and says, because I've forgiven you, now you forgive other people, that is to free you from the power that that event, that hurt that they projected towards you has on your life. So when you don't forgive people, it's to your detriment. It's not to their detriment. But again, God, you know, this, I don't remember. Again, I don't remember that. Again, we perseverate on sin, become preoccupied. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. Oh, blah, blah. All the things we're doing, all the things, the implications that have come. Now our lives are ruined because I did this thing. Forgiveness. And then again, we don't forgive ourselves. Go to God. Do you remember? No, I don't even. I don't remember it at all. Like no more. Again, think about the terms. I'm not going to think about it for a year. I'm not going to think about it for a decade. No, I remember it no more. 7:19. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquity in the depths of the sea. The sea of forgetfulness is what people, you know, usually refer to in terms of this verse. But again, casting it in the depths of the sea. And again, him, that's the way God describes the extent. See, we've looked at verses that affirm the reality of our forgiveness. We looked at verses that talk about the extent of God's forgiveness. Now the question that comes to us, again, do you believe? See, with everything that is true about God, the only way it's going to impact me is if I believe. See, we shouldn't be surprised, and this will be substantive in the other parts of the fourth message. No, it won't be four messages. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That the only thing that you do that pleases God is that you believe. Like we're going to see those people doing those Old Testament sacrifices and bringing the thing that made that work is the faith they had. It wasn't the thing they were doing, it was the faith they had in the God who said, do the thing. The thing that makes Christ's work for you is the fact that you believe. Because that's the only thing we offer. Like the only thing that is worthy in us, you remember I said, you know, if we tried to come before God and we have all our works, we have our money and we could do this thing, and God says, nope. God, I can believe in what you did. Now you got it. Now you understand. Because the only thing that can glorify God is what God does. And so what faith does is connects us to the things God is doing, so even in our faith, God is still glorified. See, if it was about obedience, if it was about, oh, God, get to God because you're all good, what would we be doing? We'd be patting our backs all over the place. Look at me. I'm so God accepts me, and I'm righteous enough. And you know what? Faith is a great equalizer. Faith is a great establishment of humility in the heart. Like, what allows me to be accepted by God? I was willing to believe. No credit for faith. But it's an extremely valuable thing because outside of that faith, you will not have the things of God. God can say, I forgive you every day of the week, every hour of the day, and if you don't believe it, it won't matter. So part of what we have to accept is the fact that we are forgiven. And it's amazing. We'll get to places in the scriptures. Like, it's amazing when forgiveness is coupled with justice. Like, in God is forgiving, and he's just at the same time. Like, so in his forgiveness, we are not getting away with anything. See, that's another thing that that guilty Catholic thing does. Like, ooh, if I'm forgiven, I, like, got away with something. I can't get away with something, so I've got to punish myself so I don't feel like I got away with it. No. You don't pay the price, but someone paid the price for you. And to continue to punish yourself is making that price insufficient. So the reason why guilt is a problem is you're saying, Jesus, the work you did on the cross wasn't enough. And that's a good place for us to stop as we think about communion. Let's bow. Father, we are. How can we not be wowed? How can we not be grateful? How can we not be just struck by humility and awe in terms of the God you are to forgive us? The very thing that bridges the gap, that allows a person like me, a person like us, to be able to come to a God like you is because you're a God that's willing to forgive. And we're grateful for that. We are undeserving. We have taken advantage. Father, we haven't operated in the way that you desire, but Father, to see that you continue to project faith, forgiveness towards that you would seek to draw us by that forgiveness to obedience and to greater connection to you and fostering your influence in our life. Father, we are grateful for the dynamic that you've established, and that really does begin and end from the cross of Christ. And so, Father, as we think about this opportunity we have to celebrate that, to celebrate him and all that you accomplished on Calvary, on the cross of Christ, Father, we're grateful for the opportunity. I do pray you bless it, that we grow further in appreciation of who Jesus is and what he accomplished by virtue of what we do today. It is in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, that we do pray.